Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, there's so many wonderful things in this gospel that capture the attention of someone who knows a little bit about history, etc. For example, the fact that Herod was a genius in terms of building and architects. Every once in a while, the National Geographic magazine will have an article about the things he built, and they are stunning. They're simply stunning, even the ruins after 2,000 years. Also, you know, Herod was a paranoid. He was so obsessed in history, actual history. He was so obsessed with protecting his name and his kingdom and his title, etc., that he thought his beloved wife was disloyal and he killed her. And he killed his two sons and then, you know, built monuments to them. And so there's some subtleness even in Matthew's story, the fact that he's called king, and then when there's a reference to the child, suddenly he isn't king anymore, he's just Herod. There's just so many things in this. But all of that should not distract from the fact that this is a shocking story. And every year, I feel almost an obligation to remind myself of how shocking and unsettling this story of the Magi should be. It's been domesticated, but it is intended to unsettle us and disturb the audience to which it was written, and today that includes us. We have to supply our own context. We have embellished the story over history, over these years. I mean, there isn't a lot about the Magi in the tale of Matthew itself, and so people from one century to another have added different elements. At one point in the Middle Ages, they decided there were 12 of them. And in the 9th century, they decided that one of them was in Africa, suddenly shows up in that fashion, in the artistry. Finally, the figure settled down to 3 of them because there were 3 gifts, so they figured there must have been 3 people. But, you know, nevertheless, we who have a sense of history forget that the Magi were priests of the Zoroastrian religion from somewhere near Persia. They were considered the descendants of the hated Assyrians, those people in the 8th century before Christ who were considered, I kind of stutter and look for a way of describing, they were considered worse than any Nazi that we could imagine. They were just very cruel people. And these Magi were descendants. They were despised. They were not welcome. I like to say they were kind of people that were, you know, you would be horrified if your son and daughter told you they wanted to marry one of them. No, you wouldn't know how to face your friends. You know, it just, they had that kind of reputation. So while the individuals may have been decent people, they represented this whole stream of history that was problematic. And here they come, and they're depicted as generous, wealthy, generous, religiously respectful, seekers, maybe with a pocket full of questions, but they're, of all people, they were the wrong people to show up in Bethlehem. I mean, I can never stop reminding myself, they were the wrong people to show up. And there they were. And that's precisely the point of this story in Matthew's gospel. That they, outsiders, the most outsiders you can imagine, are welcome. Even the outsiders are welcome. Especially the outsiders are welcome. And Paul said it again in the second reading to the Ephesians. They show up. It's like you have a reading of a will in the family, and all of a sudden you look around and there's this crowd of people that come, and you wonder who the heck they are. And they claim a portion of the inheritance, and you never heard of them before. That's what Paul is trying to say, that they're co-heirs and partners in the work of God. Now, step away from that for a moment. In our society, Christmas has assumed an importance in terms of feast days it never had before. In most of Europe, even today, the Europe from which our ancestors, most of our ancestors came, it always was and still is Epiphany. This is the great feast, Epiphany. This was the feast marked by the exchange of gifts, because the Magi came with gifts, so we ought to do the same thing. And it was only in Netherlands and in parts of Germany that the story of St. Nicholas came into being. And Nicholas, beginning of December is his feast day, was remembered as throwing bags of gold into the windows of poor people. And so there's a certain section of Europe that celebrates St. Nicholas, and most people celebrate Epiphany. And it's only recently that Christmas has taken on such an importance. Now, I'm sure that there's an element of commercialization in our country that's added to that. All the hype around Christmas, how many shopping days left, hours, minutes, etc. But there's also a profound reality in the Christmas story, the truth of Christmas, that can initiate and spark some gift-giving, because there's a great exchange in the mystery of Christmas. In other words, we human beings give God a share in our weakness. Allow God, by God's own gracious love, to enter into our weakness in a way that is remarkable. And we receive, in exchange, a share in divinity that changes our weakness. I mean, that's the heart of the Christmas mystery. So it is an exchange of gifts, profoundly. But the idea of gifts, inspired as it may be by the Magi, shouldn't enable us to forget the fundamental message of Epiphany, that outsiders are welcomed into the center of God's relationship with us. And every single year we come to Epiphany, what we need to do in order to appreciate what that manger scene is all about is to take a moment and think about our outsiders, whomever they may be. So, to be honest, as I thought about it, this, not that I wasn't honest before, but, you know, as I thought about this, I could hardly think of a more appropriate feast, of a more appropriate and helpful contribution to our national existence at this point in history than Epiphany. Why? We are terribly polarized, and we almost inevitably have this very clear sense of who the outsiders are and who the insiders are. The newspapers regularly show graphically the sharply divided red and blue areas of our state and of our country. In Congress, the Democrats and Republicans seem only to speak to each other, to call each other names, and to fight like little kids, it seems to me. And we're busy building walls and fences to keep desperately poor people out of our country. And those are all complicated issues. I know that. But the end result is that somehow we've got a whole gamut of issues to which Epiphany and the Magi speak. We demonize people we disagree with. And, you know, the gospel is about seekers, however they look and wherever they come from. It's about seekers who should be welcomed and respected with the questions, even if the questions they raise make us uncomfortable. We're all truth seekers. I thought, you know, how there are people who have something to say to us. Native Americans, I've told you this example before, but it's a good one, and it comes right here again. You know, the Native Americans are very respectful in conversation, and they would never think of responding immediately to anything that is said without, first of all, spending at least a minute in silence to think about it. And then they respond. Native Americans, in their way of listening to each other, have something to teach us. High school debate teams have something to teach us, because a good debate teacher will set up the two groups to debate the issue and encourage as much passion as possible, and then say, okay, now you switch sides. And now you take the other side and try to develop as much passion and enthusiasm for that side as you can. And in the process, the truth somehow gets weaned and sifted through our faith. It's Catholic. It means universal. The people who sit behind the pew, they're just as, and sit behind the pillar, they're just as welcome as anybody else. So today the Magi have something important to say. When they say, you know what, we belong here too. And the encouragement is for us to think about the people in our family we just don't like very much, or the people at work we don't like very much, or the people in the neighborhood we don't like very much, or the people in the newspaper we don't like very much. And imagine, just for the sake of it, three of them. And then say, how do we deal with these? Because they are welcome too. And then, as I always like to say, and then they're surprised that I'm welcome, that I show up to, that we show up. So it's a wonderful mystery, this transforming epiphany, and it's a great gift of God and a great gift of liturgy, and it is kind of the high point in the ancient church of the Christmas cycle. And the gift, I guess, that God gives us is to say, those people, whoever those people are, they belong.